Let's take the scriptures and turn to Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3, we're reading, starting in verse 1, we'll read through the end of chapter 4. So Hosea 3 through chapter 4 and verse 19. These are the words of God. Then the Lord said to me, "Go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes." So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, "You shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, or without ephod or household idols. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. And they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days." Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being my priest, since you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. The more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. And it will be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough. They will play the harlot, but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them. For a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains and burn incense on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth because their shade is pleasant. Therefore your daughters play the harlot and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the harlot or the brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with temple prostitutes, so the people without understanding are ruined. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, do not let Judah become guilty. Also do not go to Gilgal or go up to Bethaven and take the oath, "As the Lord lives." Since Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn heifer, can the Lord now pasture them like a lamb in a large field? Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their liquor gone, they play the harlot continually. The rulers dearly love shame. The wind wraps them in its wings, and they will stand ashamed, and they will be ashamed because of their sacrifices. And that is God's word. So we are still being given the picture of the husband and his adulterous wife. The adulterous wife, of course, is an image or a picture of Israel, the people. The husband is to image the Lord. And we see the people, idolatrous people of Israel, through the end of chapter 5 are promised to go into exile. and they go into a very low condition, and then Reformation comes about later. That remnant that will look to David their king. Of course, it's talking of Christ. And then moving to chapter 4, just reminding us again that the prophets, what the point of prophets are, is to rebuke and tell people who are in sin, the people of God, who have broken covenant, that they're in sin and they're going to be judged unless they come and repent of their sins. And what are these people's sins from Israel, the northern kingdom? He gives us basically a list throughout the passage. They're entangled in their fleshly lusts. They are faithless. They are ignorant because their parents haven't taught them the promises, the covenant promises, the word, because they're too busy worshiping other gods and they've forgotten about the Lord. The priests are earthly focused. They're drunkards and they're unclean. They practice divination and witchcraft. They offer sacrifices wrongly. They literally play the harlot. There's bribery happening and much more. And because of these adulteries, that is idolatries against the Lord, He's going to punish them for these things. He's going to judge them. The whole land is going to be laid waste. People are going to be cut off from the Lord. Their honor will be lost. They'll be shamed. Their earthly comforts will become unsatisfying to them. And the worst of all is verse 17. That they will be left alone in their sin and misery. There will be no rebuke coming. In verse 4 of chapter 4, there won't be any rebuke coming from each other. There will be no more discipline from the Lord. Verse 14. Well, what is it if the Lord doesn't discipline you? It means He doesn't love you. And what is it if you don't receive rebuke because of your sin? It means you aren't loved by the Lord. And what is it if He, worst of all, leaves you alone? It's like Romans 1. He leaves them to their sin. To continue in their sin. Because even here it says it's not satisfying to them. Even though we know as we strive after sin, we're often striving after being satisfied with something other than Christ. He'll leave them to their sin and it won't be satisfying to them at all. And what we see in verse 15 is that He warns Judah with these words. He's warning you here this evening, the people who are presumably still faithful. He's warning Judah here. They're still at this time faithful. That you be not like Israel and go in their way and going after the Baals. Because you see that their steps, where they lead to, they go down, their steps go down to hell and judgment. And being left alone. And so that's the warning. Same thing to us today. If we continue in sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this, Your word, which is grotesque in painting a picture for us of our sin and what we do before You. We commit adultery against You and go after our many lovers and the lovers of this world, the pleasures of this world, not being satisfied in You alone. And yet, by Your mercy, You still love us. You shower us with Your grace still. And You grant us Your Son and the Spirit who is within us, who will never leave us nor forsake us. And yet here we have the warning that if we continue in sin, if we continue apart from Your word, apart from prayer, apart from the means of grace, apart from Your people, and we enter into sin and we continue in that sin and we don't care about You, we will forget You eventually. And if we continue going, then we'll become like those in Israel, we'll become like those in Romans 1, who are left to their sinful desires, left alone, It's the warnings that we see many times in the book of Hebrews. It's still warnings to us today. And so let us be a people who repents of our sin. Who repent of our sin. Lord, forgive us of our sin. We have sinned in many and great ways. We don't just ask that you would forgive us. We ask that you would turn us back to you. That you would turn us to your Son. That we would remember the gospel. That we would remember that we are part of the remnant. We are part of the people who have come out of exile to sin, and we've been set free and been redeemed from the curse of the law, set free from our bondage. And you've brought us to yourself. And so, Father, we ask that you would remind us of these things, of the gospel, of the great grace which you shower us with, and how you bless your people. Pray that we would love you and praise your name and never forget you. Even in the midst of our sin, when we commit it, we ask that you would plague us with your Son, that we would not forget him and see what great adulteries we commit in that act of sin. And that we would be grieving and sorrowful. That we would have tears produced, not just to have tears produced, but to move us to come back to you. And so we ask that as we may quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit, that you would not leave us or forsake us according to your promise. Be long-suffering with us because of your covenant promises, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.